Public Safety Subcommittee for Wednesday, June 15th, 2005. We are in work session on Senate Bill 5605, Department of Corrections budget bill, and to be followed by Senate Bill 5606, the Department of Corrections capital construction work session. Mr. Wilson, would you like to begin with Senate Bill 5605?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I did the same thing in the House side, so hopefully I'll make sure I get both sides straight this morning or this afternoon. The memo in front of you, again, there's a memo and a set of worksheets or the tables. I'll be going back and forth between the two. This is the operating budget for the Department of Corrections. I passed this out to your offices yesterday. There are just a few technical changes between what I had yesterday to you and what's in front of you. Those are purely picking up a couple changes in the technical adjustments that I did not have. It reduced the general fund by $133,000 and it also increased the federal funds. I picked up a $65,000 increase in federal funds for a grant, federal grant funds that will not be totally spent before the end of this current biennium, that will fold over into the next biennium. Other than that, it should be the same document as you saw. I think both of you understand the what the Department of Corrections is, primary functions. Keep in mind that the prison population is growing. It is expected to grow by just under 8% between the first day of the biennium and last day, or should I say first month and last month of the 05-07 budget. Of course, the most significant cost driver is prison population, followed by the population of the community corrections program.
Mr. Williams, if you would just stop for a moment. Mr. Wilson. Director Williams, would you please come forward? I'm sure that we're going to want to talk with you as we go through this. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Please continue.
On the memo on page 2, there's some bullets that just quickly outline major features of this budget that differ from the governor's recommended. I'll quickly go through those to lay the groundwork. There have been adjustments in the debt service needs to reflect more up-to-date information that saves about $5.4 million. I'll go into more detail when we get to that part. Under here, the assumption is, under this budget, recommended budget, the Madras facility will be constructed as on schedule, and that takes into account the capital construction bill, which is the second bill on the agenda today, but the opening will be delayed until September 2007, which is roughly a 9-month period. So we built, but many of the startup costs will be delayed into the next biennium, and that's where the savings are. And there, because of that delay, there's roughly $10 million worth of savings. The interest on the COPs issued during 05-07, the interest will be capitalized. That saves an estimated $11.8 million general fund, which will be offset by other fund revenues from the COP sales, but keep in mind that the cost over the life of the payback period, which is roughly 25 years on most of the COPs for the new facilities, will increase. And generally, the value of what you're delaying or borrowing or whatever, generally you pay 2 to 2.5 times more over the long run when you COP something, depending on the interest rates over the life of the project. So this is a one-time savings, short-term savings that will generate some long-term costs. The change in the anticipated prison population between the October 2004 forecast and the April 2005 forecast is factored into this recommendation, as well as the community corrections forecast changes. The community correction grants are increased from the current governor's level of $174 million in his budget to $181 or just under $182 million. There are reductions in canteen activities, capital improvements, and wireless programs, and some other changes that I will outline in some of the staff increases. And finally, there's undesignated reductions of $10 million in this budget. The first division in front of you is the operations division. This is by far represents over half the budget and probably 80% of the staff. This is the operation of the 12 institutions, but it also, as you can see on the table on page 2, or at page 3 of the memo, it also includes almost over $100 million of health services, pharmacy services, and mental health services, which also make up a large contribution. Going to the worksheets or the work tables or whatever we want to call these, I'm starting on page 4 of 26, which is the top of your sets of spreadsheets there. I'll go through each of these, and I would recommend to the chair that after each division that you accept or make changes to our recommendations. It's probably easier to keep track of that as we go through. Package 090, these are reductions that the governor made or adjustments the governor made in his budget. From the agency request, on the most part, there's a $6.7 million reduction in this budget from that. $2.3 million represents elimination of the inflation adjustment for many direct costs of the institutions. $2.8 million represents alcohol, drug, and cognitive program reductions. I'll come back to that because those were taken out of the wrong division in the governor's budget, a technical adjustment to make sure that the cut is to the right division. There's 600,000 roughly in nursing position vacancies or a nursing pool and or a nursing pool establishment. 400,000 roughly for a hospital lot security program. 300,000 in terms of offsetting federal funds from a work camp. And there's also a cut here for the Women in Community Service program. That should also be in the transitional services. Package 132 is institutional staffing for, it relates to overtime in the institutions, a Secretary of State audit. They've had a series of audits on overtime for for agencies that run 24-hour facilities like corrections. And as a result of those audits, DOC is asking for the creation of 27 new positions to be funded within existing resources, basically by subtracting from the overtime resources to pay for this new staff. We go along with that creation of the new staff, but just want you to recognize that if you take equal units of hours between overtime staff and this new staff, you save about $500,000, but we recommend that you leave that into the budget to deal with some problems that may be coming down the line that I'll outline to you in a few minutes. Package 801 are the PERS adjustments and the AG reductions. Package 803, it says vacancy savings, but we can't control the title of the packages on this worksheet, the titles of them. This is really the $10 million undesignated reduction that's in this budget, and that compares to an $8 million undesignated reduction on the House budget. I'll outline the changes as we go through here, the major ones. This will likely be taken in vacancy savings. It is part of the co-chair budget assumptions. Package 810 is the changes to update to the April 2005 forecast in the prison beds. This saves a roughly $10 million across the department. Most of that savings, over $9 million, is in this division. Package 811, you'll see this in most of the divisions. This is changes... technical adjustment changes, and in this case it's a positive number in the general fund mainly because the big cuts to alcohol and drug and the cognitive programs were made in this division. They should have been made in the transitional services division, so it's moving resources into this to fully fund this division, and you'll see a comparable negative number in the transitional services division under the same package. Package 812 is a reduction to the activities program and the canteen program. The activities reduction contemplates the elimination of 5 positions. I know the department has concerns about this, but this was part of the co-chair's budget. These reductions in package 812 here and another place in the agency were identified by the co-chair as they went through a prioritized list of services that you have adopted in this subcommittee, and many of these reductions reflect those lower priorities, even though I think that the director would tell you they're still a very crucial part of the agency. I will mention on the canteen program, this is a cut of $233,000, I think, of this $927,000, that those dollars and the positions that went with them did not belong to the canteen program. They were misallocated to that program, so that $233,000 probably will not be taken out of the canteen program, but taken elsewhere in this division. I left the 2 positions in the budget to give the flexibility to the agency to deal with that. And then package 815, this is a package you'll see throughout the budget. This is the package that that implements the delay in the Madras site 9, or continues the construction but delays the operations not to begin until September 2007. Those savings are from 3 actions. You delay money of the startup costs into the next biennium. Not only the sort of the physical startup costs that may be buying equipment and other supplies, but also the delay in hiring the staff and the training of the staff, because you have to hire staff at least generally 2 months for the line staff to receive their DPSST training and other training by the agency before they're ready to move on to open a unit. Those are 2 things. And the 3rd thing in this delay, I've lost my train of thought, but there are also in here capitalization or financing of some of the startup costs with COPs instead of financing or straight general fund finances. So that 815 implements that delay.
Yes.
And then the costs are offset, the savings are offset by increased rental beds costs. Keep in mind that the department, if the current forecast continues, the department will have to rent over 500 beds from the counties or other public facilities outside of the state. Keep in mind that the ban on renting from privately operated prisons, jails, do not occur, and this will be a stretch for the agency to identify this number of rental beds.
As you're putting together language for the committee discussion, the so-called phony, please include that information, Mr. Wilson.
I will.
Emphasis on that as a challenge, Senator Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the sake of clarification, when you say that they will have to rent up to 500 beds with the delay of this facility, my understanding is if this facility even kept the original schedule, which I don't believe is possible, the original schedule before we started this session, they would have been renting beds. So what is the difference between the two?
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, excuse me, Representative Devlin, right now they're actually renting beds.
Right.
They have contracts for 80 beds. My guess, they would have probably had to rent, I think the original intent with Warner Creek opening, and this was on the original schedule, they would have probably never had to rent more than 80 beds. I think this delay, even with the construction, you don't open till December, you'll probably have to rent, I don't know, Sue, any more than the 80, do you think? Ms. Acuff will probably...
Please come forward, and Ms. Acuff, if you would, put that on the record.
Thank you for your question. Under the schedule and the opening now in December of 2007, with the new forecast, we will not rent any more than roughly 60 that we are currently renting.
Okay.
So then,
but you mean December 2006, don't you?
I'm sorry, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 years. So then if, because of the forecast change, that allows us to basically stay
right.
where we currently are, and if we can open on schedule, then it accommodates that population.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if you go back to the memo at the bottom of page 3, I want to just make sure some issues are on the record and that you are aware of these issues. On the bottom of page 3, the department has been sued relating to the access to, and quantity and quality of dental care, and that there are recent summary judgment finding in the federal case probably raises the potential that the agency will have to deal with increasing access to dental services, and a real rough estimate now is between $2 and $3 million in 2005-07.
Let's also put emphasis on this issue in the Coney making the point that this would present as an issue for the e-board.
The second on page, the point on top of page 4, there still is also a number of compensation issues that could put pressure on the budget. Let me also point out that an agency this large, complex, and whatever will always have a number of challenges that can't be anticipated in a budget. This is nothing new. Compensation issues have been a significant issue in other ways in the past. Just want to point out that recruitment in the medical field, especially for occupations like nurses, have always been challenging and continue to be challenging. Some of the reductions in the governor's budget may not materialize. I think I did not mention yet, but the federal work camp and a portion of the nurses' related reduction in the governor's budget will likely not materialize, and this is one reason I left the $500,000 in from the overtime savings. The agency will have to deal with these as part of the rebalance process or find savings in the budget or come back to the e-board. The governor's budget, the third bullet on this page, assumes $4.3 million of federal funds from the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program. The president's 2006 federal budget does not include any funding for this. This has happened in the past, and Congress has usually restored this budget cut, but I raise it just as an issue that's out there. And, of course, unclear what the level of funding will be from Congress.
On that,
Senator Devlin.
Yeah, Mr. Wilson, hasn't there been some evidence since the submission of the president's budget that Congress is already pushing back on that issue? I seem to have read some things.
Yeah, Congress, just as it has in the past, has, you know, said they want to fill, or they want to do fund that program, I'm sure from pressure from their legislators and governors. And keep in mind that this program does not entirely fund the cost of incarceration for the department.
Well, my understanding is we are one of the smaller recipients of the funds. So there's plenty of interest in Congress in restoring it.
Yeah, this would be a hefty issue for the California prison system. In terms of mental health, the fourth bullet, I just wanted to mention that the department is facing a challenge on mental health, mainly partially due to the lack availability of mental health professionals on the east side of the state, so they are in the process of moving those inmates that have significant mental health problems from the east side to the west side of the state, where there is more availability of mental health professionals to provide services. You also, as part of the joint subcommittee, had issues regarding, or questions regarding mental health training. There's also...
Mr. Wilson, what discussion did they have on the House side with regard to this particular issue?
The only issue, Madam Chair, was raised, the only comment that I remember being raised was to make sure they weren't leaving empty beds on the east side of the state as they do this movement, and that will not happen. But I think that was it, as I recall, from this morning.
Discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some significant undesignated reductions in this budget of $10 million, and then you can add some of these other things that I've mentioned that may end up being unfilled budget needs, and they will have to closely monitor the use of overtime, employee morale issues, employee and inmate safety issues as they try to, you know, achieve the vacancy savings. But I will remind the subcommittee members that the agency did have actually undesignated reductions of a larger amount than what is in this budget in the 03-05 biennium, mm-hmm. and they did face some significant challenges in making that budget up. And I also mentioned here in the final bullet about the 500 rental beds. And the issue I do want to raise here, I should have raised it this morning, also was that the rental bed price or cost or whatever that is assumed in this budget is $60 a day for next biennium. I think both of you heard me in the past that I think this is pretty darn conservative, and my guess is that the department will be faced with a higher per day cost as they start to use more and more rental beds to fill the gap.
And that additional information also needs to be reflected in the pony. Again, my intent is that the Senate committee have the fullest possible understanding of that challenge.
And, Madam Chair, that completes my recommendations and comments on the Operations Division.
Senator Devlin?
Are you ready for a motion?
I am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move all of the LFO recommendations for the Department of Corrections Operations Division.
Any additional discussion or objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the next division is the Transitional Services. This is the largest portion of this division is the Community Corrections Grant. On page 5 of the memo is a table in the middle of the page that provides you some background on what is funded in this division at what levels. So there's a Community Corrections Grant. It also includes a number of programs that are designed to reduce the risk of future criminal conduct by the offenders that are incarcerated or supervised by the department. So this is also where their workforce development, education, alcohol and drug treatment, religious services programs are. And if you turn back to the worksheet, on page 15 of 26, and I apologize for the sort of funny sequence of numbering here. We can't control how these come out of the system. So the numbering will be a little funny. Package 083 on page 15 is recognition of a September 2004 e-board action that was not in the agency request or governor's budget. It recognizes that the department has had to assume the community corrections operations for Linn and Douglas County, who both have opted out of the budget. Or opted out of the community corrections local supervision role, and this package increases the number of positions by 48 for the department, but these positions were county positions previous to this. Package 090, which is the header at the bottom of page 15, but the content is on the top of page 16. This is a package that the governor uses to make reductions for the community corrections grants. In this case, the reductions were assuming a shorter revocation term as well as discontinuing funding for limited risk offenders. You'll see at this level in the governor's budget, counties would be have every opportunity to opt out of the community corrections program. A portion of these funds are added in a later package here in a couple minutes that we'll get to. Package 801 is the LFO analyst adjustments for PERS and the Attorney General rate decrease. Package 810, like in other divisions, is the update to the April 2005 forecast, both for the prison population forecast, which has a small impact in this division, but mostly in this division for the community corrections caseloads. There are savings in the community corrections caseloads, but at the same time we use this package to increase the grant amount available from grants to a level of roughly $181.8 million. So this also adds back to a level that is roughly $7.2 million more than the governor's budget. The House budget is at a level of $190.1 million is in comparison. Package 811 are technical adjustments, and you see here a larger negative number. This is a net number, but this package also transfers the cut for A&D and cognitive programs to lines it up with the proper division. In a minute, you'll see, actually in 812, you'll see an add back of $2 million. The co-chair provided this for a combination of the alcohol and drug treatment program reductions, as well as the cut that was made to the Women in Community Service, or WICS program, at $275,000. I have put it in here as just a recommended $2 million restoration of that, the combination of those two cuts, and haven't laid out how to allocate that restoration of the programs. The full A&D cut was $2 million.
What discussion did the House have regarding this issue?
Madam Chair, the House does not restore any money, but actually it was pretty universal discussion led by Representative Hanna about the need to really look at seeing if there are resources to restore this. And I think members of that subcommittee will be bringing that forward to the co-chairs. I know in a list of reductions that I presented to the co-chairs, this $2 million was part of that list. But I also cautioned folks that there are other holes still coming in the state police and, yes, and other agencies that I think we need to weigh, make sure that we don't get too far out in front of until you know the universe of reductions.
That is correct. Absolutely. Okay. Senator Devlin.
And Madam Chair, correct that this is probably an area of the budget. We all know that this budget that we're potentially sending out today won't be our final time that we look at this budget, that we will come back and re-examine this area.
We are at a stage in the budget-making process. That is correct.
Madam Chair, continuing 813, this will be a series of packages you see in three or four divisions. When I went in and took a look at the growth in the caseload versus the growth in some of the staff in the central areas of the budget, I thought that the governor's budget may have been a bit too generous in some of the increases. I also tried to take into account the past history where the department has not continually kept up in some of these central areas, but still felt there were some reductions that could be made. This would be to the offender information unit, and while the caseload was going up by roughly 8%, some of these staffing levels were going up significantly higher than that, and it's my recommendation to reduce that increase by two positions, and this represents about 25% of the increase. So I'd have to take a look at my notes, but there's still increases of probably six or so positions in these in this unit. And then package 815 is like the operations division. This is the package that implements the delay in the MADRS and make sure there's enough rental beds, but again at that lower level of $60, which we have some concerns whether to be able to meet that. Going back to the memo on the top of page 6, just a couple points that I want to make sure are on the record. Counties continue to discuss the option of transferring out of local administration of the community corrections program. I do not believe the opt-out threshold is it's definitely not as definitive as it has been in the past, because the implementation or introduction of the band level of allocating and forecasting that is included in the governor's budget, as I mentioned before, two levels of funding have resulted from the April 2005 forecast, the $182 million in the Senate version and the $190 million. I think it would be safe to say that at the 190 level, there's probably no doubt. I think at the $182 million figure there, that you still meet the threshold, but I am sure that counties would challenge that assertion of mine. The second bullet is that the budget does not include any further resources for sort of department-wide administration if more counties opt out of the program. If a large county or a series of smaller counties opt out, the department will face some central services around personnel, payroll, accounting, and those things that are not part of the budget at this time.
Mr. Wilson, again, here, what was the discussion in the House regarding this piece?
In terms of the community corrections grants, of course, they are at the
$190 million.
Yes. And there was really no discussion around the second bullet.
All right.
I raise it just as an issue.
Okay.
And it may not materialize. It depends on what happens with the community corrections programs. And then finally, the last bullet talks about the restoration of the $2 million for the alcohol and drug and the WICS program. And if this was not restored, you'd be seeing a decrease in funding representing, you know, over 100 beds of the existing 500 treatment beds. And they would have to prioritize even more severely than they do now for alcohol and drug programs.
And so specifically, you make the point in the text that the access would be limited to participants in the alternative incarceration program.
And also those that are medium or high risk of committing a crime when released.
Okay.
Madam Chair, that concludes my recommendations and comments on the Transitional Services Division.
Madam Chair.
Senator Devlin, before you make the motion, I just think in this, the last issue that we discussed, just again want to make a point about the importance of programs that have an impact on recidivism, which is the last line in your text. So I'm going to read that into the record because it's an issue that we've talked about a lot as a joint committee and also as a smaller subcommittee on the Senate side, speaking to the impact on recidivism in the future, since so many of the agency's inmates have substance abuse issues. So how those get addressed in the transitional process is really critical. Senator Devlin?
You ready for the motion? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move that we accept all LFO recommendations relative to the Department of Corrections Transitional Services Division.
Additional comments? No objections, and this is approved.
Madam Chair, the next division is the General Services Division. This division provides a number of services centrally for the institutions and other services or programs. The agency includes accounting, the information management staff, the distribution, warehouse and distribution, and the transport of those various goods and services to the facilities. And it also includes the centralized facility services. On the worksheets, so again, on page 11 of 26, package 090 is the analyst rec, and the reason for the increase here is that the agency request mistakenly left out $2.5 million of startup costs, and they were added back at this stage in the governor's process. That addition is netted. Has a net re- or is is reduced by roughly $800,000 of general fund cuts to a number of S&S items in this division. Package 095, I should mention that the startup costs that were left out, portions of those will be delayed in a later package. Package 095 is a placeholder for the scenic or computer and networking infrastructure consolidation project. You probably heard of this package or this project, which takes the computer, central computer operations for the larger agencies of the state, consolidates them into DAS. This is a placeholder, and a bill later in session will do to make changes in all 12 agency budgets, and so this is a placeholder. On page 12, package 163, this package proposes adding two permanent positions to the that are currently limited duration positions. A few biennia ago, they centralized their telephone systems, had some significant savings, which assist in paying these limited duration positions. They need to have those two positions centrally to operate the telephone systems, and this would make these permanent positions. The only change I have to the governor, recommended to the governor's budget, is an adjustment for the PERS package. This package really doesn't have any cost increases from last biennium because these limited duration positions were present at that time. Package 801 are the LFO analyst adjustments to PERS, the Attorney General rate. Package 810 has another divisions. This is the update to the April 2005 forecast. Over department-wide, there's roughly $10 million worth of savings based on this forecast, and it's a relatively small amount in this division. Package 811 is the package dealing with the technical adjustments, and you'll see some technical adjustments here in this division, including the decrease in the number of staff by one as it's transferred, I believe, to the operations division. Package 812 reduces the wireless program by delaying the hiring of two positions. This is, again, this is included as part of the co-chair's recommendations or co-chair's budget by taking a look at the prioritized list. There does still remain positions in this program in the current budget, and this just delays the hiring of these positions. Package 813, again, like in the previous division, I looked at and compared the mandated caseload projected growth in the prison population against some of the central services, and thought that some of the workload or some of the increases were maybe generous. In this case, there were 9 accounting positions added, which represented a pretty hefty increase. I'm suggesting not filling or not creating one of those positions in this budget. But it should be noted that one reason that retaining 8 of those positions was that a recent Secretary of State's audit division report did cite the department for having some issues in the accounting area, and I don't think the director has been shy about making sure that members know that the accounting increases that are still here are still very important. Package 815 is the General Services Division package dealing with the delay of the MADRS for 9 months, and it represents savings both in startup costs as well as staffing costs that are pushed out into the next biennium. And Madam Chair, I believe I have no issues, though I do not, on General Services, so that concludes my comments and recommendations.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the LFO recommendations for the Department of Corrections General Services Division.
Discussion? Objections? Approved. Yeah. Excuse me just for a moment. Would you like to share the name of your guest?
It's an honorary page.
An honorary page today? Would you like to come up and join the panel? come on up. Thank you, Dean. Okay. You can have a seat right there. You can be Senator Winters for the afternoon.
Okay.
Only if you vote the right way.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the next division is the Central Administration Division. This includes the Director's Office, Public Affairs, Research, Planning and Budget, but the largest contingent of staff in this office is the Inspector General Functions, which includes the investigative and hearing units for the agency. On the worksheets, you'll see, starting on page 8 of 26, the 090 package has a relatively small decrease in medical inflation. That was generally the only adjustment that the governor made in his budget, the $4,671. Dollars. There is a package 190 that deals with the cost of issuing COPs. This includes both the costs of issuing the COPs as well as creating 9 new positions. In some cases, they're continuation of existing limited duration positions. These new 9 new positions would also be limited duration, but these are the staff that manage the construction projects for the department. So some of the staff, I believe it's 3, would be for the Warner Creek project, and 6 would be for the mattress package or project, and the 3 Warner Creek positions would go away as that project is completed. I did take a look at staffing levels when they were building Coffee Creek and Two Rivers, comparable to the Madras in size, and this looks like it's staffing levels below what they had before. So I think the agency is doing a good job of trying to control the staffing levels. On the next page is package 801. This is the just the LFO analyst recommendations for the reduction in the PERS rate and the AG rate. Package 810 is the update for the April 2005 forecast. In this division, it's a reduction of a little less than $100,000. Again, that is a reduction. The FTE makes up a portion of that reduction. Package 811 are the technical adjustments I've mentioned before. In this case, there's an impact of negative 1 positions that are picked up elsewhere in another division. Package 813 is a result, again, of comparing the caseload growth and some of the staffing increases in the mandated caseload package. And this deals with the investigations and hearing unit. And as in some of the other divisions I've mentioned, I'm recommending that 3 of the new positions not be created. And this represents, again, roughly 25% of the new positions. And this is in the investigations and hearing unit. And finally, package 815 is this division's package relating to the delay in the startup of the Madras project. I should also mention that this package in some of the units also reflects the capitalization of the remaining startup cost, not the capitalization, but the COP financing of the remaining startup costs. Madam Chair, that I believe, yes, it does conclude my recommendations and comments on the Central Administration Division.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the LFO recommendations relative to the Department of Corrections Central Administration Division.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the next division is the Human Resources Division. This is the personnel portion of the agency. Deals with labor management issues, recruitment, training and employee development, safety, and payroll services. Excuse me. Going back to the tables. Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I have read this portion
and I'm only going to be leaving for about 3 minutes, but when I come back, I'll be ready to vote.
That's fine.
Madam Chair, this package, the first package is package 090. This is the analyst, the BAM analyst adjustments and governor's adjustments to the budget. And in this case, there's an increase reflecting mostly in some of the startup costs for the Madras project that were left off out of the, actually I shouldn't say governor's budget, it should be say analyst rec or the agency request budget in that note. Package 801 are the adjustments for PERS and the AG rate. That is part of every division's budget that has staff. Package 810 is this division's package that adjusts the budget for the April 2005 forecast. In this case, on the next page, where the actual dollar amount is about a $93,000 reduction and a delay of 0.81 FTE in the budget. I should note that some of these are Madras related positions that are getting delayed, and they are compensated in package 815 to make sure things are at the right level. Package 813 is again the comparison of the mandated caseload increases as well as the staff that was included in the department's budget, in the governor's budget for these functions. In this case, it's the human resources division totally. I recommend not increasing or not approving five of the positions and 3.16 FTE. Again, this still leaves roughly 25% of the positions, or this only represents about 25% of the positions that were part of the governor's budget relating to caseload growth. And finally, package 815, that has a value of $267,000 reduction. This represents this division's savings from delaying the Madras facility, opening the Madras facility until September 2007. Excuse me. And Madam Chair, that concludes my comments and recommendations on the Human Resources Division.
Great timing, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the LFO recommendations for the Department of Correction Human Resources Division.
Additional discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the next division or unit is the debt service. There's roughly about $100 million dollars in the DOC budget for existing debt service or debt service on existing COPs. Package 190 on the worksheets in the governor's budget increased that by $16 million to take care of what the projected debt service would be and what they thought at that time would be the amount of COPs issued for the Madras facility and the Coffee Creek expansion. Since that time, based on more up-to-date information and sort of work done by Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Corrections, they are now saying that they need just under $3 million less than that $16 million to pay for both existing debt and the new anticipated debt that would be for COPs that are issued during 05-07. So there's a savings there of $3 million. Package 802 represents or is the result of the Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Corrections reviewing their balances in various trustee accounts and lining up those accounts in terms of how much is really required to continue to serve the existing COPs. And as a result of that review, they identified $2.4 million in savings in excess of what they think they need at this time. These include COPs that were issued in 1996, 97, and 2000, and 2001. Again, so this represents an increase in other funds to see the use of those funds, but a decrease or an offsetting decrease of $2.4 million in general fund need. And finally, the largest savings in this budget in terms of the recommendations is Package 815. This represents $11.8 million of general fund savings by capitalizing the interest on any new COPs issued during 05-07. As I mentioned before, this saves general fund as a short-term savings, but it does increase total debt service over the life of the COPs, life of the project, which runs out roughly 25 years. There would be an increase in the overall debt service paid. But this is a one-time savings for 05-07 for $11.8 million. On the other fund side, you have an increase of $12.9 million. That represents the $11.8 that must be paid out in other funds that offsets the need for the $11.8 in general fund. It also includes additional debt service as other funds for any financing of startup costs that are remaining in the Madras project. So you have to pay the debt service on that, and that represents the difference between the 12.9 and 11.8, along with some technical adjustments. Madam Chair, that is my recommendations and comments on debt service. This is where you have the most savings in this budget and probably reflects one of the greatest differences between the House and Senate versions of the budget. The Senate does not, first of all, does not delay Madras, but it also does not use capitalized interest as an option.
The House does not.
The House does not. The Senate does.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the LFO recommendations relative to the Department of Corrections debt service.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the capital improvements section is next. These are for any projects, maintenance projects, deferred maintenance or asset protection projects that have a value of $500,000 or less. Package 191 in this unit increases the other funds by $240,000. This reflects increases or revenue increases of that amount from the sale of property in Marion County or to Marion County itself out near the county jail, and they will use those proceeds to clean up a fuel tank at the distribution center here on State Street, just on the other side of the freeway, to comply with DEQ requirements. The second package is a package that comes to you as a $1 million reduction, basically almost half of the funds for capital improvements. This was part of the co-chair recommendations to the subcommittee. I have some concerns about that. I've expressed it that the department does face probably, you know, of around approximately $50 million in deferred maintenance, and it does also have some significant aging facilities like the Oregon State Penitentiary, but it also has facilities that are, you know, roughly 10 years old, like Snake River, that are also starting to face some deferred maintenance and improvement needs.
Mr. Wilson, the information that you just provided should be captured in the committee report.
Mm-hmm.
In the detail that you've provided in this summary.
Okay.
Because the $45 million in projects yet to be completed is up against what was shown in 1996 to be $60 million in needs, and we haven't made substantial progress at all. Okay.
And, Madam Chair, although it is a different budget, I would probably say that in both the DOC, we have not made substantial strides in terms of these types of projects, and in the OYA budget also.
Absolutely. It's a good observation.
I'm sure I would also add the state hospital to that.
State hospital. Okay.
Well, do you want to talk about the Oregon State Police communication system while we're at it? Okay. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the LFO recommendations for the Department of Corrections capital improvements.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the final budget unit here is the capital construction budget unit. The governor included $145 million in the budget.
This is now taking up Senate Bill 5606.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
But the budget included this $145 million, at least in the system. Actually, the bill does not, but I do want to make sure that for this bill, that the $145 million is not recognized in this bill, so I'm recommending that $145 million be taken out. The next bill will deal with the $145
million. Okay. All right.
And keep in mind that capital construction limitation is different from operating limitation. It lasts for 6 years and not 2 years as the rest of the limitations that you've been dealing with.
Senator Devlin.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the LFO recommendations for the Department of Corrections capital construction.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, then that leaves you at the top of page 10 with a motion based on the actions you've taken so far today. There are the actual amendments to the bill. What I'm asking here for is to amend the text of the joint bill, which is 5016, and then amend that and then fold that new those new numbers into the bill in front of you, which is 5605. For council's sake, this is the easiest thing to do.
I'll take that motion, Senator Devlin, if you would also be explicit in describing the changes.
Okay. Keep my voice that long. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to amend Senate Bill 5605 for Section 1, General Fund, Line 8, delete $651,871,983 and insert $623,753. Or $753,643. Line 10, delete $89,346,016 and insert $85,071,880. Line 11, delete $210,215,133 and insert $216,978,281. Line 12, delete $118,838,744 and insert $101,640,940. Line 13, delete $2,078,999 and insert $1,078,999. Section 2, other funds, line 19, delete $12,764,539 and insert $12,603,831. Line 21, delete $9,968,752 and insert $10,834,515. Line 22, delete $8,966,832 and insert $10,231,635. Insert a line for debt service of $15,334,570. In Section 3, Federal Funds, line 15, delete $4,339,146 and insert $4,404,146.
That's line 25.
Line 25.
Okay.
I'm going to come back as a reader.
discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, the The next item on the sort of the sequence of events here is performance measures. I believe in the pile underneath the agenda, you'll find a one page back and back of the performance measures. My memo notes where there are changes. I should also note that the Senate co-chair did express interest in having the subcommittee take a look at the targets, and he in some cases thought they should be higher than they are, but did not offer any more direction in that. In the right-hand column, the most right-hand column, I've put in for perspective's sake some of the values during the most recent year the data is available, 2004, and in some cases 2003, to give you some perspective. So I'll give you a little time there to look at that. Again, the bolded ones in the right-hand column are those that are changing or being modified.
Did you have comments on the performance measures?
Madam Chair, I reviewed the performance measures, and at first I was a little bit concerned by three, but I saw that it was covered in other performance measures. And I would say that for most of these, I would have to make the comment that I think that the targets have been set are appropriate, particularly given the limited resources we have to provide to the Department of Corrections to meet some of these needs in this biennium.
The performance measure I keep coming back to is number three, the item that is being deleted, the percentage of inmates reintegrated into the community who completed their plan and did not recidivate. And I think it would be helpful to have on the record some comment from Director Williams about his thoughts about the deletion and how the information is otherwise captured in other other performance measures, just so that we have clarity on the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Max Williams, Director of Department of Corrections, joining me, Sue Acuff. We recommended the deletion of performance measure 3 because we felt that it was more effectively covered by other performance measures, particularly performance measures number 2 and performance measure number 4. Performance measure number 2 measures the percentage of inmates whose correction plans are completed while they are at the Department of Correction, those inmates who actually complete the plan that is prepared for them. And then in number 4, the percentage of offenders on post-prison supervision convicted of a felony within 3 years of release from prison. This is a specific measure of what we calculate is our recidivism rate. Those two things together will allow us to really make a determination that made number 3, frankly, somewhat superfluous.
Can you speak to the target and your comments on whether that should be adjusted, or what exactly does it reflect to date?
Madam Chair, as we've moved to members of the committee, as we've moved to a new plan approach to how we have tried to at intake automate the corrections plans in a way that actually makes that more effective, we believe that we'll start to see an increase in the amount of the planning piece that goes on. The challenge we obviously have is that oftentimes the corrections plan, after an inmate has gone through the intake process and has had their particular scores assessed, we don't always have the program availability. And as we've commented, and I've heard the committee comment today with respect to things like reduction in alcohol and drug treatment, cognitive restructuring, and similar kinds of issues, the ability to actually have the inmate while they're within the department complete all the portions of their plan is obviously something that's limited to some degree by the amount of resources available. Measure on number 4, which is essentially our measure of recidivism, As you see, we have generally been running somewhere around 30% for some period of time with respect to recidivism. That is a lagging indicator in that it measures people who were essentially incarcerated 3 years ago and whether or not they have reoffended and committed a felony and come back within the system. Some of the changes that the department has made in the last few years to focus on cognitive restructuring, to move towards a more evidence-based approach, we have not yet seen the benefit of those, I believe, in the numbers, and I hope that we'll start to see a consistent reduction in recidivism. But at the current time, because we have not been achieving the 28.8%, which is actually established in the benchmarks, that's not a department-established figure, that's specifically established in the benchmarks, we felt that it would be inappropriate for us to adjust the target because it was the one measure that we have that's tied directly to the state benchmark. Our hope is we get better and get closer to achieving the target so Oregon can say that it's actually accomplishing one of its benchmarks. Again, Madam Chair and members of the committee, much of that is, again, we believe, impacted by both the program opportunities we have within the system, our ability to successfully work with our county partners as we transition people effectively back into the community, and our other state agency partners that help provide services for the offending population as they reenter.
Go ahead, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that one of the things the director highlighted is one of the realities, particularly just, you know, saying it straightforwardly in the inmate corrections plan. What you were directly alluding to is if you talked about them going through different programs and you don't have slots in the programs, they're not going to complete the plan.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. I think four is actually it's sort of a very straightforward in terms of reoffense, and I think four does cover some of the other areas in three. The only thing I would say about four, and I'm not seeking a modification at this time, is I wish to some degree that there was more detail in this in terms of, if you remember our OYA presentation, they had different breakdowns over years about how many people had recidivated in each year after release. So I think that provides more detail, and I think we've had this discussion before about this is a combined number in terms of it's both inmates that have been in the system, this is their first time in the system and being released, and inmates that have been in the system multiple times and released. And I think there's a difference between those two.
And Madam Chair, Senator Devlin, we would be we have a substantial amount of data with respect to various categories of recidivism, and at any time during the interim, to the extent the committee is interested or any member is interested, would be more than happy to either prepare some short white paper that breaks some of that out or come in and do a full-blown presentation on our recidivism data.
Thank you.
Mr. Williams, your thoughts, please, about additional performance measures related to, given the recent judgment federal case related to dental care, how do we track improvements around providing a quantity of dental services and access to dental services? Need to benchmark that, or would you recommend some other approach?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, one of the performance measures that we recommended deletion of was performance measure number 8, which was a comparison essentially of the DOC healthcare cost per inmate as compared to the average OMAP cost per capita. And while we always performed well under that comparison, we acknowledge and found it not to be terribly helpful for us because it was really an apples to oranges comparator. Mr. Wilson has on several occasions made recommendations to the committee that the department spend some time over the interim considering an appropriate way to measure from a performance measure standpoint healthcare costs generally. It's a growing issue, obviously, with respect to corrections. There was a recent New York Times article, which I have copies of, that I'd be pleased to share with the committee about the issues and the impact of methamphetamine on teeth and how that's affecting corrections and jail systems around the country. We're certainly not immune from the impact of that. I believe that we have worked with LFO staff, our own internal staff, and the folks at DAS to at least begin to identify the actions we believe we are going to need to take in order to improve both the quantity and access to dental care within the system. I think we'll have the opportunity potentially, because of the costs associated with that program, to come back and talk to the e-board at some point about that. I'm not sure that I would suggest that we either create a benchmark or establish it at this point, because in part I think we still have some decisions on our own to make about how to best affect the system. But I do think we'll be working over the interim to consider what kind of an appropriate performance measure relative to healthcare cost and delivery within the system would be an appropriate measure. And that may be some national comparators or some other data, which we frankly just don't have a good recommendation for you at this point, but would be pleased to work on over the interim.
The other subject I would add with the same kind of question is looking at the quantity of and access to mental health services and the need to track that piece as well, and the training piece that goes along with that, the training for staff, adequate, appropriate training for staff.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, as Mr. Wilson alluded to, is one of the issues in his report, where he identified what we agree with his statements on all of that list of potential places where the department may face additional costs and expenditures not accounted for in the current budget. Mental health stands as a area of significant concern. We are doing, we think, in following the recommendations of our own internal task force that on mental health that assessed our managing mental illness in prison group that made an assessment of some of the changes we need to make. We're doing what we can to implement those within existing resources. We believe we've got a plan coming together that will at least provide some additional mental health resources and assistance to our population. It will give us some locational availability that we might not currently have over time. We still lack significant numbers of staff who have not just training that we could offer them, but in some respects the academic credential necessary to provide the kind of services to some of our population. We're working closely with the staff at the State Mental Hospital in conversations with them as they move into what they anticipate will be the Phase 2 process of the State Mental Hospital conversation and a possible forensics unit. We're engaged with them at that table at the governor's request as partners in that process. My hope is that as we move towards the next legislative session, we'll be able to show some significant improvement, not only in long-term planning, but in some short-term strategies in addressing the mental health issues. And we'll again be pleased to and may be required at some point to come back and address some of those issues with the e-board during the course of the interim.
One additional question while it's still on my mind, Senator Devlin. Kind of an aside, but Director Williams, what would you say today is the would be a statement that characterizes the morale of the department's employees?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, in the 18 months that I've had the privilege of being the director of the Department of Corrections, I can tell you that I am very, very impressed with the dedication, the commitment, and the caliber of the individuals that we have working for us in this corner of state government. And I tell them often, from my own experience previously as a legislator, that I think they are, to some degree, one of the best-kept secrets in state government in the sense of their, again, their dedication and commitment to what is an extremely difficult and challenging job, where morale, under the best of circumstances, is going to be something that would be a challenge to get up every morning and necessarily work in that environment. I think there is no question that they are impacted like employees generally in state government have been impacted by issues involving hiring freezes, compensation, wage freezes, and some of those issues, along with PERS adjustments, that under any circumstances you can anticipate would affect the morale of an employee in a sense that at times they are not always valued by the people who they work for. And I don't necessarily even mean in the sense of management of the Department of Corrections as much as perhaps the public at large in the important public safety mission that they're fulfilling. That being said, I really do believe that the Department of Corrections is making some very important strides in moving us down a path started by others, not by me, that is focusing on evidence-based practices, that is focusing on the effective transition of people back to community, that desperately wants to be a program-based approach to corrections that moves people into a situation where they won't create new victims and thereby fulfill the public safety mission. And I think, by and large, a majority of the employees of the Department of Corrections see that vision, embrace that vision, and are anxious to do the right thing when given the appropriate resources and the ability to do it. And that's obviously what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are you ready for a motion?
I am.
Okay. Before I make the motion, I'll just state for the record that I was going to point out a little bit of irony. And I understand the situation of being under a court order, but in another room in this building, they've been debating for the last 6 months what type of dental benefits Oregon Health Plan recipients will receive, certain populations within the Oregon Health Plan. It's an irony. But with that, Madam Chair, I move to approve the performance measures as recommended by the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Discussion? Objection? Performance measures are approved.
Madam Chair, the final action on this bill would be at the bottom of page 10, which is to move the amended bill to the full Senate Special Budget Committee.
Senator Devlin, would you
Madam
make
Chair,
that motion?
I move Senate Bill 5605 as amended to the full Senate Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
People moving here. The other bill on the agenda today is Senate Bill 5606. This is the capital construction bill for the agency. What I've done here is there's the actual amendment attached, but there's a summary on the front. This bill does a number of things, but it generally reflects what the agency needs in moving forward with the construction of the facilities to keep pace with the prison population growth. It also extends dates on some of the projects makes adjustments to former limitations previous biennium. The major features of this bill are the reduction of the authorized amount for the construction of the Powder River facility in Baker. This expansion is completed, and the cost came in less than was anticipated. Then the next one is a reduction in the amount of for the construction of the Coffee Creek facility. Substantial savings here of $15+ million. The savings themselves, whatever could be generated, were taken during the 2001-03 and 2003-05 bienniums in terms of reductions in debt service needs, and some of those things were used at that time in closing budget gaps. Though it should be noted that I think the department's done a good job in managing this project, because the 155.1 also includes an expansion that is underway that had not been planned. Part of that, I'll get to that in a minute about the extension. There is an increase in the authorization amount for construction of an expansion at Shutter Creek down in the South Coast area or Mid-Coast area. The cost of this project has gone up about, I think it's $1.5 million roughly, mainly due to the delay in the project because of the prison forecast, but also because of discussions with local government down there on the water system and the use of how to serve that facility with the local water systems. There is an increase in the authorized amount for the Madras facility from $59 million to $190 million. The $190 million reflects the costs that are expected at this time for that facility. The original $59 million amount reflected only the site work, the planning, and the construction of the minimum facility at about 432 beds. The $190 million figure reflects not only those things, the other 432 minimum beds, as well as the 1,200 plus medium security beds for that site. And as noted in the operations budget, the budget assumes that the construction goes forward as scheduled. And in fact, you need this bill very soon on the governor's desk in the first couple weeks of July to continue the process. And for that reason, we're going to turn this bill and try to get it on the agenda on both full committees tomorrow and Friday quickly. And finally, some dates are extended. In session law, there are expiration dates put in place for projects. If you take a look at the last page of the amendment, in Section 4 of page 9 of the amendment, you'll see that the Women's Correctional Facility or Coffee Creek and Intake Center is extended out to the end of February 2008. That will take place for the current expansion. Keep in mind that the forecast for the women population is much greater than just a short time ago anticipated. There had been no plans in the works to expand Coffee Creek for a number of years, but recent forecasts have really pushed the department into making the expansion there that is currently in the planning stages and underway. Madras has been extended out to the end of November 2008. Population hasn't kept pace, and there's been delays in the construction for Madras and other facilities. This just recognizes those delays. And then finally, two community corrections-related facilities, one in Multnomah, one in Clatsop County, have been extended. The Multnomah projects are completed, and they are in the sort of the closeout on contract payments and stuff. So that is extended out to the end of December 2005. And the Clatsop project is currently underway, and that is extended the expiration date out to the end of June 2006. And, Madam Chair, the amendment is attached for this bill.
Mr. Wilson, the increase for Shutter Creek, did you say 1.5?
I believe that's the amount. Let me make sure. Powder River. It goes from 4.5, 4.6 to 6.1, so it is a little over $1.5 million.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5606.
Discussion? Objection? Approved.
Madam Chair, clarification at this point?
Yes.
This bill obviously has a lot of other projects in it other than the Department of Corrections. All those committees have acted on this at this point.
Madam Chair, Representative Devlin, this is all existing law that you're amending, so these are projects in the past.
So those are existing.
You have to list all those projects for the amendment.
Madam Chair, then I move Senate Bill 5606 as amended to the full special Senate Budget Committee with the DuPont's recommendation.
Discussion? Objection? Approved. Mr. Wilson, I'll carry both of those.
Both of them?
Mm-hmm. Any other business?
Not today.
Tell us what next week looks like.
Actually, there is a meeting tomorrow on the district attorneys that is coming back to the subcommittee. Mm-hmm. That should not take very long.
Okay.
And next week, military department, I believe, is one day. And for the life of me, I can't remember what's the other day. I'll have to check.
That work. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. You're adjourned.